Now, as was pointed out, we had Poncho Day here a couple of weeks ago when we played Melbourne. Today is a members' brunch, and there's been out on the cricket ground lots of activities for the Geelong supporters. And there's been a few former players up on stage being interviewed and all. And one of them has made his way into the ABC broadcast position to join us now. It's Bruce Nankervis.
Oh.
G'day, Bruce. I'll just turn... There you go, Brucey.
Hello, Ian. How are you going?
Good, thank you. And all the boys are up in the studio there in Melbourne. And
hello, Bruce.
Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it when Ian asked me to say a few words about the 150-year celebrations coming up. I thought, I listen to these guys every Sunday morning and I'm actually going to be part of their show.
So there you go. And
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. And we, of course, used to come and watch you play here, Bruce, through 253 games, am I correct?
Correct, Ian, yes. Yeah. Yes, just looking out here on the ground itself and... brings back a few memories.
Did you have to go wide to get into the comm box?
Yeah, I just see this little spot out here where Ian used to stand. And I used to actually kick it to him. Well, he actually used to kick it back to me.
And can we just congratulate you, Bruce, and your family for the part you played in inventing modern football, for all the stuff that used to go on back then about, oh, the Leyland brothers, blah, blah. Now, every team plays like that.
You were ahead of your time, you and Ian.
We were trendsetters,
Ian. Weren't you?
We were.
People would... Ian would get it and he'd kick it across to Bruce and everyone would go, oh, what's he going across the ground for?
Now, Ian, we actually lived beside each other many years ago when I was playing football.
But Bruce means the Ian in this case is his brother Ian, not me.
And we used to kick to each other over the fence.
Over the fence.
We used to practice this. Everybody thought it was just one of those brotherly things, you know, just a natural instinct. But not really. We used to practice over the back fence to each other.
Was one of your backyards known as the fat side?
Yeah. The fat side hadn't been invented back then, had it?
No. The fat side, I think, was a guy called, I'm going to say Larry Donahue, but no.
Who you play with. And when you talk about that era... When did you first played under Polly, didn't you?
The great Polly Farmer, yes. He actually probably taught me a lot about the modern game of football because he was way before his time as a coach. I remember when he first came to the club, he said he wanted us to get the ball and share the ball in the back line, bring it down into the forward line and obviously kick goals. But some of his ideas are used in modern day football and he taught us a lot and... He had a huge influence on my football career. I started as a half-forward flanker, and he put me on the half-back flank, and I learned a lot about the defensive side of the game.
How old were you when you first debuted, Bruce?
20.
20?
Yeah.
Because you had been down the club, and then they sent you away, didn't you? And then you came back?
Yes, it's just one of those things where I'd played some pre-season games, and they felt that I wasn't quite up to it at that stage and said to go back and play with my local club, which was Bowen Football Club. And luckily, that first game, they rang me at about probably 7:45 one morning to say that the reserves bus was leaving to go and play at Hawthorn. Would you be ready to play? So obviously somebody hadn't got their clearance through at a certain time and went and played well enough to get a game the following week and then obviously played well enough to play senior football.
Just as well you didn't say, no, I have to work in my parents' milk bar. Because your parents had a milk bar, didn't they, Bruce?
They did, on the corner of Autumn Street and Shannon Avenue, and but you come in for a free milkshake.
Well, Ian and I used to haunt the Geelong Football Club as schoolboys, and we actually walked out there from Chilwell one day from my parents' milk bar, and we stalked you.
We were doing market research. Yeah. That's Billy Baxter talking there, Bruce. You might remember Billy knocking around with me in the old days down here.
I can remember Billy Baxter really well.
Yeah, one of the things that probably people don't remember is the fact that you did win two best and fairest at Geelong, and your brother won one as well. So you seem to have a bit of a mortgage on it down there for a while.
Yes, we did. I think Ian ended up winning three best and fairest, and I was lucky enough to win two. It's just one of those things that happened. I'm not quite sure it's because we kicked to each other all the time that we ended up with the ball, but it was a great experience. And I was only talking about it today, where we were interviewed earlier and talking about being at football here as a junior, and I can remember standing here in the northern goal, and Ian would remember this. There was a pine tree right at the end, and I actually stood in that pine tree a number of times when Geelong played Collingwood here because it was a sellout.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, obviously a childhood dream to play with Geelong Football Club, and eventually got to that stage.
And played 253, and Ian played 324, if I'm correct.
Correct. Yes, he did too.
And which you also kicked the captaincy to Ian, because you were the skipper for 2 years, and then Ian for the next four.
That's true, yes. You remember those games we used to play on a Tuesday night at Waverley?
Yeah. You broke your neck in one of those, didn't you?
That's right, I broke my neck. We played Hawthorn. And,
the coldest night ever.
Coldest night in 48 years, I remember that. And we're going to Waverley to play a night game. And I think there was about 150 people there. And
goodness.
But anyway, I ended up breaking my neck. And then I missed half a season. And then Ian took over as captain the following year because I just felt that I wanted to get myself right physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. And Ian, I think, has captained the club for many years.
Yeah. And actually, when you're talking about you and Ian and the way you were sort of ahead of your time with kicking the ball across the ground to open up the play from the back line and all, you were a bit of a pathfinder in too, that you became, off a half-back flank, became a tagger, didn't you? I remember a famous guy. You tagged up Lee Matthews here one day when he was in absolutely red-hot form, and kept him to about half a dozen touches or something.
Yes, I remember that game because Polly Farmer was actually our coach. And on the Thursday night, he said, "Look, I'm going to give you a job to play on Lee Matthews." Oh, I said, "Thank you very much." And I went up to our captain at that stage, who was John Newman. And I said, thought maybe John might be able to give me some advice. And he looked me in the eye and he said, "Look, Bruce," he said, "if you got your life insurance paid up?" And I said, "Thank you very much, John." But yeah, I did play on him. And I, look, you learnt a lot from playing on great players. But there was another guy, a guy who played with Essendon, a guy called Neville Fields.
Yeah.
I was given the role to play on him in the centre. And he actually kept taking me to the ball. And I ended up getting the ball. And I thought, well, obviously, there's a lot more to this game than just borrowing in and hoping for the best. Think about what you need to do.
And the other famous thing you did down here in your tagging role was you were involved in an incident that led to Kevin Bartlett being reported for the only time in his 403-game career. Just tell us about that, Bruce.
I can't understand why he got reported. I was just grabbing hold of his shorts and grabbing things that... it was another role. And, yes, Kevin... I used to play Kevin a bit like netball. Kevin used to obviously read the ball off the pack and rely on his pace. So I used to turn around and front him from the where he was going to run to, like a game of netball, and I actually got him frustrated. And he just turned around and said, "What are you doing that for?" And then he went to brush something off the front of my face, and actually there was a little cut there with the blood trickling down, and the umpire came up and said, "You're reported."
Mm. And then you went to the tribunal and you couldn't remember a thing, could you?
Could not remember a thing because there's a big bandage around the top of my head, and they thought maybe I shouldn't go in to give any evidence. And I think he might have been found guilty but got off because of his record.
He had a very good record.
Yes.
Never been reported. Go ahead with it.
He got off because he was on the rules committee.
Footy was absolutely golden during that era, Bruce. And the names you've mentioned playing with and against are all truly legendary figures in footy. What's your view on footy today?
Footy today, yeah. I probably, as a defender, at certain stages of the game, I think why are players, especially backline players, standing in an area where they give their opponent an advantage to go to the ball. And there's no doubt that in modern-day football, players are being told to stand in certain positions. But we were taught to the old one-on-one football. You know, you're responsible for one player and make sure you beat him. So I find that frustrating nowadays, players giving an opposition a slight advantage. Skill-wise, skills are magnificent in today's football. When you see a player that might have half a metre start on his opponent and his teammate will kick the ball to him and he ends up 9 times out of 10 with the ball.
Mm.
The kicking skills are very good.
Mm.
So they're probably the two main differences from when we played in the 70s and the 80s.
You obviously like watching Geelong play, Bruce.
I certainly do. the way that they play the game, they're on ballers. It's just... As an ex-Ruck Rover, you tend to look at some of the players who play in those positions, like young Gary Ablett and Selwood. I mean, you just admire them, just the way that they attack the ball. And Just magnificent players.
There's a term that needs to come back a bit more often, too. That's ruck rover.
Yes, bring back the ruck rover.
What do they call them nowadays?
It's just midfielder on ball, isn't it? I mean, ruck rover really told you what was going on, didn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. Bruce, enjoy the rest of the day down there, and thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Good on you, Brucey.